Welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark A. Bell.
Hello, Mark.
Hey, Mike.
We're going to turn our attention to diabetes. It feels to me like we haven't talked about diabetes in a while. Our listeners know all kinds of things about diabetes. It probably is no group of non-well patients that we see more of and more often than diabetic patients. Lots of drugs to treat type 2 diabetes, and they have different mechanisms of action. There are ones that increase insulin availability by directly giving somebody insulin or through drugs that promote the secretion of insulin. There are drugs that improve sensitivity, drugs that delay the delivery and absorption of carbohydrates from the GI tract, or those that increase urinary glucose excretion. A relatively new class of drugs are called the DPP4 inhibitors. That's dipeptidyl peptidase 4 inhibitors. They're a class of oral diabetes drugs. They decrease glucose by decreasing glucagon and presumably increasing insulin secretion. This DPP4 is a common enzyme found in the body on the surface of most cells. DPP4 inhibitors are not considered, at least at this point, the initial therapy for the vast majority of patients with type 2 diabetes. Of course, initial therapy should begin with diet, weight reduction, exercise, and metformin, unless there's a contraindication to these things. But then come the DPP4 inhibitors. And the question is, can they be considered as add-on drug therapy for patients who are inadequately controlled with metformin and perhaps metformin plus a sulfonylurea? The modest glucose-lowering effectiveness and past experience with new drugs for diabetes, we have a whole list of these drugs that over the past decade or two have been touted as the latest and greatest and have really been a bit disappointing. So we're a little cautious about any new drugs that come along. There's a family of these DPP4 inhibitors I'd like to introduce you to. Their surname is Algliptin. There's Sitagliptin, Saxagliptin, Linagliptin, and Allogliptin.
And hi, Allogliptin. How are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you. Today, we're going to take one of the sisters and talk about just Sitagliptin. Now, all of these gliptins have similar glycemic effectiveness. They result in only modest improvement in hemoglobin A1C, and there are very few head-to-head trials and no data on the long-term use of what Mark would call sort of patient-oriented outcomes, things that really matter to our patients, like mortality and reduction in diabetic complications and quality of life. And part of that is just that the drugs are new and the studies haven't been done yet. But Mark, let's look at this one drug. It's Sitagliptin. And the question that this study that was published in the New England Journal of Medicine this year, 2015, it starts on page 232, and it asks the clinical question, does adding Sitagliptin to existing therapy, now only for type 2 diabetes, does it improve outcomes? Mark.
Yeah, this is, I think this is an important study. I'm glad they did this study. I'm not sure that the interpretation by the authors was correct, and I'm going to give you my interpretation of it. So this was a drug company sponsored study, and it was, they did it because Sitagliptin is, like you said, one of these DPP4 inhibitors, and a meta-analysis had shown a 25% relative increase in the likelihood of being hospitalized for heart failure if people were randomized to one of these agents. So the company said, ooh, that's not good. That's not our goal. And so they did this study. They recruited adults over 50 with type 2 diabetes. They were all getting metformin, pioglitazone, a sulfonylurea, or insulin, and they all had a glycated hemoglobin between 6.5% and 8%. Anybody that had impaired renal function or had a recent episode of severe hypoglycemia was kicked out, was excluded. They were randomized to get the Sitagliptin 100 milligrams daily. If they had mildly impaired renal function, they got GFR 30 to 50, they got half that dose. The primary outcome was a combination of cardiovascular death, non-fatal MI or stroke, or hospitalization for unstable angina. So kind of one of those wastebasket, all bad things outcomes. Clearly, being hospitalized for a few days for unstable angina, very different from cardiovascular death. Okay, so the other thing about this study, it was designed, they say, as a non-inferiority trial, which means we're just trying to show that giving people this drug won't make things worse, okay, that it's not going to increase the risk of cardiovascular events, which I think is kind of setting the bar a little bit low. So that was their stated goal. They also, though, looked at superiority. They did look at whether sitagliptin, adding sitagliptin to these patients, was better to than placebo for preventing cardiovascular events. Now, they had almost 15,000 patients followed for a median of 3 years. So that's, if you think about cardiovascular trials, other diabetes trials, studies like ADVANCE and ACCORD and VA diabetes trial, this is bigger than those trials and followed patients for just as long. Groups were balanced at the beginning of the study, mean duration of type 2 diabetes, so these folks had had it for about 12 years. The drug did lower the glycated hemoglobin levels more than placebo, about 0.4% at 4 months, and that amount of the advantage of, you know, that decrease was a little smaller as time went on. There was no difference in the composite outcome. There was no difference in a composite when they excluded unstable angina, so just MI, cardiovascular death, or stroke. There was no difference in individual cardiovascular outcomes or mortality. All-cause mortality was 7.5% in the sitagliptin group, 7.3% in the placebo group, no difference there. Hospitalization for heart failure, 3.1% in each group. So their conclusion is, hey, this is a great drug. It lowers hemoglobin A1C 0.4%, and it's safe. It won't give you a heart attack. That's one interpretation. Mine is it's true that it did not increase cardiovascular risk. I would like a drug that for diabetes to maybe decrease cardiovascular risk. I don't know. Call me crazy. And so definitely, you know, glass half empty, glass half full kind of thing. And, you know, this sitagliptin costs in the U.S. $350 a month. When we published this one in American Family Physician, we got an immediate letter from the drug company saying, well, it's only $120 in Canada, which A, says a lot about the Canadian health system and, you know, the fact that they're able to negotiate with companies. But B, it really doesn't change the results of the study. So $350 a month to lower your A1C 0.4% and not change your risk of heart disease. I'm not excited about that at all.
No, it's too bad because, as you say, the need is great, but we need to keep looking. That was very clear. Thank you, Mark, for that. We'll talk with you again next week.
All right. Thanks, Mike.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to look at this and other recent poems, please go to www.infopoems.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.